So, hello and welcome to episode 97, three episodes away from 100 of Dropping the X, an unofficial Hunter x Hunter podcast. My name is Dame Dr. Foxy Brown, and I am joined by, once again, the only person I can rely on, Ed the Crimson.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm here for, here to the end.
And it's so upsetting, because like he was going to be in this episode.
He seemed so psyched over Twitter.
He promised, you know. And I had the tabs open. I checked all the favorites. I was ready to throw out what we're going to call him this episode. And just, I don't know, he's not answering our phone calls. I don't know what's up. So, yet another episode without Diego.
Yeah. So, sorry, you Diego fangirls or fanboys.
Whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have an episode to talk about, episode 139, which is called Alaka and Something, and we're also going to discuss chapter 348 of the manga.
Yeah, that's a resolution.
All right, thank you. So just jumping into it right away, because we got no news to deal with. So Alaka and Something, this episode, it hits on three, there are three concurrent plot lines running at the same time. Two of them are obviously going to merge at one point. But the third, it continues to revolve around the voting. So yes. You have Hisoka and Illumi, who are meeting on this zeppelin, I guess. And it's, I don't know why I laughed at this, but like Hisoka's sitting down at the table, and like Illumi comes over with the drinks, and then it looks like they're on a date. Which
yeah, a little bit. Which, you know, they might be.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, this seems like the kind of thing he would be talking about on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So he's continuing the whole, yeah, I have a little brother that needs to get murdered. And he's sort of explaining Alaka's powers to Hisoka and the rules that they've discovered while basically sacrificing people to Alaka. And he's like, so I killed a certain amount of people, and then my mother was like, what you were saying, Killer, what can't possibly be true, because you're like 5 years old. And so she tested it like three times, each time with a number of people dying. And then it's what Miluki was doing, between Miluki and Kasuga.
Yes.
I think they caused a whole bunch of people to die. So, and Miluki had also done that thing where he brought the tourist in.
Yes. And he's like, oh, hey, these are my brothers.
Yeah, just don't worry about them. Like, Alaka's gonna ask you to do stuff, but just say no.
Don't worry about it.
So Alaka shows up and is like, hey, eat this mushroom. And dude's like, this is kind of weird.
No, you weird kid.
And one thing I kind of like about this whole scenario is that, like, Illumi, Miluki and Killua are clearly the only people that know, that have some sort of idea. Obviously, Killua knows the best, but how Alaka's powers work. And that's on purpose. Like, all three of them, by design, set it up so their parents would have to ask them for any information. Because, like, before, last week we talked about the fact that it never asks for any requests around the parents. And that was weird, but it just seemed like, okay, it cares about the parents or whatever, so it's not asking. But really, what it came down to was that if Alaka's already asked somebody a demand, it's not going to ask anybody else until it completes those three questions or those four questions. And so what they would do was have Alaka, if they knew the parents wanted to see Alaka, right? They would bring a butler in, let Alaka make a request of the butler. Then my assumption is take the butler out and then send Alaka to hang out with the parents, in which case Alaka would just sit there and play with toys or whatever while they're observing and nothing would happen. Which is really messed up that the three of them all decided, like, this is how we're going to do it to make sure that they had to ask us for everything.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
So, Illumi's explaining to Hisoka, like, when, I think it's Kasuga that died. When she died, it wasn't just her and her boyfriend that died. Because basically, we were going to kill them anyway. So, that's why I use them.
But yes.
Also, like, everyone that she trained with, all of her teachers, like, all of these people that she'd spent a certain amount of time with all got killed at the same time that she died. And so we've discovered that, okay, there are certain situations where the wish is small enough that the payment is only two lives, and in that case, it's you and the person that you love the most. But in other occasions, like when Homegirl asked for $1 million, or when Maluki asked for whatever he asked for, that the payment is so much that it's you, the person you love the most, and then the people that you've spent the most time with in decreasing order.
Yes.
And in Kasuga's situation, I think, because I think Yasuha or something like that was the one that made the wish. In her situation, she didn't spend much time in her life with her biological mother, because I guess she was always sickly and she could only spend half an hour with her at a time.
At the hospital, yeah.
So her amount of time put her at a level where she was below the last person that got killed. So she remained alive to this day, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, the most important thing is that Killer was an idiot. both Illumi and Miluki acknowledge this. And they both come to the same conclusion, which is that because he knows that his friend will be upset if he lets a bunch of people die to save him, when it could be... So what he's going to do is make the wish of... Or in their minds, what he's going to do is make the wish of Alaka. Alaka's going to heal Gon. And then he's going to continue to be around Alaka, so that Alaka can make the demands of him. And then he's going to try to accomplish those demands, which is ridiculous. Because when you consider the price that Gon had to have paid to be able to accelerate his growth to that level, is probably...
Medical science ain't going to help that.
It's probably likely that Illumi says thousands of people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he's really called Hisoka in, and I love this moment, because Hisoka's hair was, like, perfectly coiffed. And, like, when he said this, like, his hair just started, like, fraying out. And, like, you see dude sweat and everything. He's basically, like, not only... Because Hisoka comes to the conclusion that, okay, Gon is the person that he loves the most. So he's going to heal Gon, and then the price is going to have to be paid, and then Gon is going to die anyway. So that's worthless. And Illumi's just like, no, that's not quite how it's going to work. And see, the person that's most likely to die is me. And Hisoka's like, oh, darling, no. No, sweetie, he doesn't love me like that.
Yes!
He's like, I thought I was messed up, but, like, you have serious problems if you think that Killua loves you. But basically...
After all you've done.
Basically, all of Killua's friends are going to die, because he spent a lot of time with them recently. Probably, Kurapika's probably fine. Yorio might be... They might both survive. They've not spent that much time with him. But Gon, definitely. All of the butlers, probably, definitely. And then...
Possibly the spiders, possibly, including Hisoka.
Definitely Hisoka's been around them too much.
Mm-hmm. And way too much.
All of the Zoldics die. Things work as they do.
Yes.
Contrary to how Illumi thinks this is going to play out, is that Killua acknowledges that his parents don't know... He basically said any of the rules. So it's very possible that there are additional rules to how Alaka works that neither Illumi and Maluki know. Because they've basically been experimenting where they bring a butler in with Alaka and then be like, okay, do this or don't do this. And they extrapolate based on what happens. Whereas Killua was like, okay, tell me what I need to do. And heard the answers directly from the horse's mouth, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And we also learned in this episode that there are two distinct personalities, and not so much that Alaka transforms into the other thing. Because he mentions that he's aware that when Alaka says brother to refer to him, it's Alaka speaking. But when the face one says Killua, then it's this other creature. And Illumi also acknowledges, which makes it sound really funny, because Illumi is just like, we don't know where Alaka came from, which is weird to me, Because, like, if a little kid shows up at your place, you don't usually just adopt it into your family.
No.
But that's how he makes it sound. Like, this baby just surfaced, and they were like, okay, we'll raise him as a Zoldyck. He looks like us. Why not?
Mm-hmm. So, clearly, there was no shmangin going on.
It doesn't...
For this child to come out.
It doesn't seem that way. It's still possible that it is.
It is, but because of its ability or whatnot, it's just not considered part of the family.
Yeah,
because
it seems like the... Maybe the kid died. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, maybe the kid died and, like,
the Nanika.
A being of some sort. Yeah, the Nanika. So, you know, kind of rolled up in it.
And like, reanimated the child, and he's not speaking about that. It's like, remember that thing that happened that was horrifying?
Yes.
Yeah. So, because the child...
Remember when my optic blast severed our son's head?
I do wonder where that came from, because, like, I noticed that she still has the bandages around her face.
Yes.
And it's like, it has to be almost a year since Killua slashed her face open.
Yes.
So I don't know why she still has...
She just likes it.
I guess.
I mean, she is definitely a masochist.
Oh, for sure. Especially for Killua.
Uh-huh.
Because when Killua's getting ready to leave, he's like, okay, Dad, open the door. And Dad's like, I'm afraid I can't do that, son. And he goes, no, you're going to open this door. And at this point, he'd already fulfilled 3 requests of Alika.
Here comes a new challenger!
So, in the middle of that sentence, we added someone to the call. Somebody that's a traitor. Someone unreliable. Someone named Diego.
Oh, that's me. Hey, guys. So, wait, why am I a traitor?
I think you missed, like, the last 3 or 4 episodes.
We were calling you all types of shit.
Yeah, we called you all... I guess you didn't listen to any of them, but we called you all...
No, I did.
You called you all kinds of things behind your back. Yeah. You're supposed to say that you're Diego, a.k.a. Carmen Diego. A.k.a. Little Chum.
Mm-hmm.
A.k.a. Jugum Jugum Poop Throwing Machine, Shin-chan's Day Before Yesterday's Underwear, Shinpachi's Life, Balmung Felzalion, Isaac Schneider, 1/3 pure feeling, 2/3 worried over hangnail feeling, though betrayal knows my name or does it, I know the unknown, the cuttlefish tastes kind of different than it did last time, because it was caught near the pond and served with oil from a hoof mammal, pepe 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 pepe, take care from here on in, please, and finally the end. Ichigo Samaru. So that's what I'm supposed to call you.
Okay, you have to do that from now on every time.
Oh no!
So that's your fault every time.
I feel like we're just gonna like extract that audio and just put that in the front.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that every time.
Oh man.
So since you missed it, we're in the middle of talking about episode...
Good Gintama joke.
We're in the middle of talking about episode 139.
Okay.
I've been bouncing around as usual, but we're at the point where we're talking about Kikyo's masochism.
Yes.
And also the bandages that she's still wearing around her face, though her wound should have healed at this point. Killua turns to his dad and is like, Dad, I'm your son. Not that Alika is your child, because it's important to confirm that Alika is something else entirely. And he says to his dad, like, if you don't open the door, and then he makes his wish where he says, to Alika, if we're not off this mountain in 30 minutes, kill my mother. And Miluki is all, no, how can you do this to our mother that I love so
much?
Who doesn't care about me. At all.
No. She hates me right now.
And like Kikyo just like falls to the ground and is like, oh son, you've grown up so much. I'm so proud of you that you would threaten to kill me like this. And then he tells Alika, like, if we're off the mountain in 30 minutes, like, kiss me on the cheek. And you see Silva is looking at him like, God damn it. And then he's like slowly presses the button that opens the door, and you hear all the locks unlocking. before the door goes up, and he walks out. Oh. And while all this is going on, the Zodiacs are still arguing over their next move is going to be. And they talk about how between the first round of voting and the second round of voting, there have been more absentees. So it seems as though people aren't taking it seriously.
They are continuously not giving fucks.
And it seems as though that they have to now threaten to take their licenses away. So Cheadle is like, I hate you, but you're probably right. And so she turns to Beans and is like, you know, can we... they went to Cluck, sorry. And Beans turns to Cluck and goes, could you send out a letter saying that if you don't vote in a third round, that we need you to come to the office so you can turn in your hunter licenses. And Parstone is like, oh, whoa, let's not be hasty. Like, we don't have to take away their licenses. And everyone was like, but you just said...
Like, literally just said it.
And why? You should take away their licenses. Like, no, let's do something else. And Cheadle is thinking to herself, like, the fact that he would suggest things that make his own job, his evil second job, more difficult, is something that he has in common with Natero. But she still hates him for it.
Of course.
So, in this episode, we have, at the very end, Killua says that Nanika is very good at breaking things, but is not as good as putting things back together. So one of the conditions of using Nanika's powers to heal is that it has to be able to touch the thing that it's trying to heal. And then there's a flashback of Killua walking up with a bird in a box. And then Nanika holding the hand over it and like bright flashing light, and then the bird flies away. And then the face goes back to normal and they're like kidding on and whatnot. So we see Alika wake up, kiss Killua on the cheek, and then face back to normal, episode ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when we reviewed this chapter that you were talking about the...
Why does always have to be
stereotype,
birds?
Why does always have to be a bird thing?
Mm-hmm.
And a nice little chat about why couldn't it be a fucking dog, why couldn't it be everything else?
I mean, because they own dogs, why not?
Right, no, again...
Are there dogs really the kind of dogs that are just gonna die?
No, I mean, I don't think the bird... Well, the bird is probably dead, but it's usually something like the bird fell out of a tree and broke
its broken wing.
If anything, those dogs probably killed the bird. Probably swiped it out of the sky. Was like, ha ha.
Those dogs are probably too big to even notice birds around them.
Yeah,
true that.
So we have here
eagles. It's a different story.
Yes, yeah, eagles.
They would definitely try to kill eagles, especially bald ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they hate America
because dogs hate freedom.
So in this episode, we also have. I neglected to mention it when I said that other members of Kasuga's butler class were killed. That the bodies were twisted, and I think he says wrung out.
Yeah, they look like a wrung out rag of a person.
Kasuga herself like sort of exploded into mist, but these people like it's like someone grabbed them hands and feet, stretched them out, and then wrung them as though they had no bones and. In turning them, turned out all of their blood. And so that gives life to the theory that we discuss. Unfortunately, that's sort of among a spoiler. But it fits in line with the fact that various members of the Zoldyck family keep reiterating over and over that Akka is not a creature that from the human world.
No, not at all.
I am looking forward to seeing, like, are we going to actually finally acknowledge what Alika is in the manga, or are we just gonna like let theory sit out there and sort of not confirm anything?
Well, I don't know. Maybe once this is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we still have to wait. Is it this week or next week we have the next chapter?
Next week.
I think there's a
break this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, this week's chapter is what we're going to be reviewing. And then we have a break next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, technically.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, before we get to the manga parts, is there anything in particular that you want to call attention to in this episode?
Well, of course, there's the Hisoka saying, dude, you are fucked. I mean, or like, I'm probably a potential child rapist, but dude, you are fucked.
Yeah. Well, it's always those nice little moments. Like a couple episodes ago was where, like, when they told Hisoka about Gon and he was super worried.
Yeah.
And then they told Jin and he was like, oh, whatever.
like, if he's really my son, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Because I'm awesome. Probably by, you know, transitive property, awesome.
Yeah. He'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You, on the other hand.
I like that he doesn't consider at all that, like, he, God may have inherited his durability gene from his mother. So he might die.
He just assumes, like, what? He's a man, I'm a man, obviously all the genes came from me.
I mean, have you looked at him? We practically look identical.
Yes.
So.
He just whips out a picture of him, starts, like, drawing little scribbles as a beard on him. See, look!
It's totally me.
Yeah. Oh, and then, of course, when Killua tells the dog to sit. That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So, you have anything you want to call out, Diego, since you missed, like, half of the episode discussion?
Obviously, I'm really liking the way that they're doing the deaths justice, because, again, I don't think this would have been able to be shown very early on in the anime's run.
No.
So I'm glad that it's not, that it's happening now, and everything is like, oh shit, her power is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, everything, again, it's Madhouse, and I have total faith in them, and my only main concern now is how they're going to, how things are going to happen once it ends this arc.
We'll see if they take a break, if they stop, or if they start going straight into the next arc, which...
Because I feel like they're not going to do filler.
No.
I guess companies now, they just figure it's better money-wise to just take a break.
So,
rather than spend money on animating things that were not there.
Especially since they pretty much said that this was going to be a cutting out filler kind of show.
Yes.
So, in the preview, we get to see some of the family butlers in action, including one we've seen before in Canary, a very old lady, and another person.
Yeah, the old lady.
Yeah.
Presuming that they're gonna follow Killua and Alaka going forward. And of course we also have Illumi and Hisoka heading towards Killua. Very slowly, because they're in a blimp.
But, yes.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, everything in this world is slower.
Yeah.
Except Grandma Motorcycle.
Right. I don't know why they didn't just invent planes. Like,
well, because they don't have the technology for it.
Why did the world decide...
Alternate technology history.
Why did they decide when they made blimps? It's like, okay, this is good enough. Like, not like... There's the fact that these things can catch fire, and then everyone will die.
Well, that's again, that's assuming that they're using helium.
They might be using, like, some weird Hunter Hunter air.
Yeah.
Using some other gas that's lighter than air.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But not as flammable, yeah.
Alright.
That they just made up on the spot, you know?
It has to be. I mean, because they still have iPhones, they still have iPads, they still have computers. Like, and they have literally every other technology except airplanes for some reason.
They have lab, yeah. They have ours.
They have modern hospitals.
Yep. Yeah. But planes, no. Planes are too much.
Yep. Yeah. We thought about it, and then we decided not to.
Yeah, it was too
short. Or maybe, like, in this world, whoever, like, patented, you know, the blimp, just, like, found, like, upstart, you know, plane guys and just murdered them. Like, yeah.
That's possible. Or they, like, patented air travel so yeah. that no one else could come up with anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So, just as a fun little aside, because I literally cannot remember if we ever referenced this in show.
Okay.
And also because I was looking at the favorites to remember what I was supposed to call Diego. And one of the questions posed, apparently, was, hey, if Gon's mother was someone that we've already met in the show, who would Gon's mother be? And this is this is a 2012 question.
2012 question?
Yeah. From the Twitter account. So, like, you guys are welcome to answer the question.
Wait, this question was asked?
It was asked by us, yes.
2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Oh.
I swear to God, for a second I was like, did we even have this podcast in 2012? But of course we did.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking idiot. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. God's mom. Who would it be?
Yeah.
It's somebody we already know about.
Yeah.
Could I just say that if it was anybody, it was Paku.
Okay.
Okay.
Just cause.
I'm just gonna throw this out, cause fuck it. Maybe it's Cluck.
Or, like, you could... No, actually, I think I could see that between Jin and Cheadle.
I don't know if Cluck is old enough.
Fair enough.
Because I can't judge age in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I assume they're all around the same age, but Pion looks like she's, like, 5, so...
Yeah, Pion looks like she's, like, 12, 13, like... Yeah.
Or, like, Biscuit.
Yeah. Yes.
Or hiding some stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, the answers that we got are pretty much sort of what you would expect. A couple people answered Cheadle, because there's obvious tension between Cheadle and Jin.
Yeah.
And it would have had to be a person that Jin was acquainted with 13 or 14 years ago. We also got two Pakuta answers, because I guess everybody wants it to be that, okay, Gon, you didn't want to know who your mother is. Now it turns out that your friend killed her.
Yeah. Yes, everybody wants that storyline.
Or at least the fact that, you know, she's dead now, so you don't really have to explain it much. Yep. Like, yeah, that was her. You're like, what? You're like, yeah.
I was like,
she was the one who had his arm around you.
How on earth did he manage to not get that hook nose, though?
Yes, that's what I was about to ask. I was like, how did he... I was like, we need to ask the important questions. Like, how did he not get that nose?
Because clearly he had all the gray genes from Jin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything. He looks just like a little tiny Jin.
Yes.
So, we did get a Biscuit answer. And this person suggests that Jin loves manly, muscly women.
Who doesn't?
We got an answer that was...
It's everybody's favorite kink, right?
Yeah, I definitely love my woman to be super muscular. Yeah.
And tall. Very, like, very tall.
Yeah, and, like, pick me up and just throw me around.
Especially since Jin is such a short guy.
Yeah.
Someone answered the world tree, which is the best answer, because
reason. Because
I just
saw that tree and was like, yes.
And the actual least practical answer is Mito, pretty much because Gon's already aware that it's not Mito.
So, and Mito already said it's not, because if she was the mother...
like, she would be a lot less bitchy about a lot of things. If that was the case.
Mm.
So
she would have at least at one time in her life gotten something she's been thirsting for over 10 years.
It has to be like 20. If she was
20, yeah.
Uh-huh. So my money is potentially on Cheadle, but I do like the idea of Pakunoda as just being hilarious.
Yes.
Because I don't even know when they would have met each other.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's no C in Greed Island, so that throws out the idea that his mother was one of the people involved with Greed Island. Because I remember that being a theory back when Greed Island was releasing on OVA. So, alright, that's the end of our anime discussion. I'd like to thank you guys for listening, if you did. If not, I'd like to thank you for still being subscribed, even though you don't listen to the show. That's still a check.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome of you.
I mean, you're still wasting like your hard drive space by letting iTunes automatically download every week, but that's fine.
You know, perhaps.
If you want to email us a question, a concern, if you want to answer that question of who you think, I mean, it's not like there's a ton of options in Hunter x Hunter. It's like 10 women, so pretty much put your money on either of them. But if you want to answer that question, you're welcome to at hxhpodcast@gmail.com. That's hxhpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is droppingthex.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at hxhpodcast. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to be discussing Chapter 348 of Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah! His new net ability.
Yeah.
I should have been recording that, because that's the most laughs I'm going to get all day. So,
yeah.
We're back discussing Chapter 348, resolution of Hunter x Hunter. And we start off with the Hunter exam, and I will admit to you that my brain turned off in these first 5 or 6 pages when they're talking about this.
Because this is boring, and you're like, who gives a shit? I want to know what's going on. Other things?
I don't care about how they weaned out people, because last chapter, Muher, I think his name is, which is weird, yes. Now that I think about it, because that's like woman. But
yeah, I was like, that's woman, it's Spanish. Yeah.
He's talking about how he basically got eliminated from the Hunter exam towards the very beginning. Like, he didn't wait for them to tell him.
And all his people.
Yeah, he didn't wait to tell them that he failed. He just was like, okay, I see you're asking these questions. I'm a fail, so let me just go. But Cheadle is replaying a message on the screen from Kakian and Beyond Netero, and she's like, answer the following questions, which includes, did you know this information before the broadcast was made? If you knew, tell us how you got the information. And answer how you would explain this information to someone who didn't know beforehand. And she says, okay, now think about what the economical, social, and cultural merits are of knowing this information beforehand. Is a weird question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, yeah. It's.
But I guess, you know, this Hunter exam, they need really specific kind of people.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Especially also since this was used to determine who was lying and who wasn't. So, and as we see, the next page is this guy talking about, like, yeah, of course I was aware, but I can't reveal my source.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he just gives this issue about infrastructure being great, and you know, it's it'll benefit the Kaken royal family a lot. And then Kurapika is essentially going through all of these people, like, this is white, doesn't know anything. And then the next guy's like, yeah, I knew information beforehand, but
and this is more
it came through here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, are we sure that it's not that's not a woman?
Tagashi?
I can't say with certainty. It's possible he has no idea, since especially it's spelled differently, that mujer is woman in Spanish. But also, he looks like an elf, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Who knows? What the fuck?
It's a pretty tall elf, but anyway.
Now we have elf people, yeah.
So it turns out that Kurapika is using his dowsing chain to figure out if people are lying or not.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he can do that if he sees video of the person talking. So the third guy that speaks, it says that he didn't know anything, but he would ask people to seek out that information from the officials higher up in Kakin. And he says that this person is hiding really important information.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of acknowledges to Mizaistam that he'd already screened out people that were lying, but it's possible. But there were a lot of people that managed to fool the lie detector test. And besides, I was like, I don't even care about those people. I was talking about the fact that you could use your ability to do something like this. He said that you didn't really know if it would work, but to me, looking at it from this distance, it looks like your ability was designed specifically to be able to tell if people were lying or telling the truth. And he's just like, that was not my plan at all. It just so happened that it works that way.
Yes.
It's just luck.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even understand how this ability is working, but when the person is standing in front of me and talking, like if I focus to the limit and it looks like his eyes are red as he's talking.
Yes.
He's like, I can see the small changes that people make in their aura when they're about to tell a lie. Because supposedly that's true. If you get somebody that's not a practiced liar and they're about to lie, there's a small, imperceptible difference. Sometimes in their face, sometimes in their body language, right before they lie. So he says that when he uses Emperor Time, which is the red eyes thing, it makes the differences more vivid and it becomes possible to tell through video image that someone's lying. It's like, otherwise, I'd have to see the person and they'd have to lie in front of me for me to know. But this is a kind of, no matter how much the person is a trained liar, like, I can still find out kind of ability. And he's like, Mizaistam was like, this is super awesome. Like, why do you care?
Yeah.
And he's saying that, well, if I was a spy to trick someone who had that kind of ability, then what I would need to do is erase a person's memory. And he says he would look to he'd look for someone with the ability to manipulate other people's consciousness and awareness. It's like not to show me how to hide my lies necessarily, but to completely erase them. So he's saying that he thinks that if the person isn't aware that they're lying, then my chain might not work on them. So he says, like, if there's someone on the enemy side with an ability like that, then they would be able to get through the hunter exam without being caught by us. And now Mizaistam is sweating. It's like, how is that even possible?
It's like, is that a possibility? And then we switch over to this. Again, every once in a while. Rapist. Yeah. Every once in a while, he'll throw this awesome, like, in the murder rapist. He'll throw an awesome, like, looking panel, like the one with the cars going by.
Yes.
But it looks like there's music playing in the background.
He's listening to his iPhone on the dock, maybe? I don't know. Yes, maybe. He's a bunch of phones there.
He has, like, 12 of them.
And, like,
but it looks like he's, like, injecting someone or something. That's what that needle is.
It looked like he threw, like, it looked like, from his way his hand looks, looked like he, like, threw, like, possibly a dart or something similar.
Yeah.
Or maybe kind of like an ice pick for, you know, kind of.
Possibly an ice pick. Yeah. Because he does have, like, wine on ice.
Ice, yeah. Wine on the rocks.
So, it was his phone.
So dumb.
One of his phones was ringing.
Mm-hmm.
And he answers with his name, which I'm not going to attempt to say, because. Their names don't make any sense because there are a bunch of different like language bases for their names, considering that they're all supposed to be from the same.
People complain about Nordic people. Like, come on, this is bad.
So he answers that it's Benjamin.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Hey, BB, what's up?" And Benjamin's like, "You're gonna be happy. It's good news. The father accepted their proposal." I don't even know where Benjamin's phone is. Like,
I don't. Oh, it's in his other hand. No, yeah, it's in his other hand.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay. Right behind the lion's
head. Behind the lion's head, where he's just slowly murdering it.
Why does it look like they're all just one person?
I don't even know. But
Jesus.
Dude is like, oh wait, I can't even tell which one's named Benjamin anymore. But he's like, okay, father said that the person who survives this trip to the outside is the one that's going to be king. And dude has like an orgasm. He's like, I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh God in heaven, I am grateful at last.
It's like,
and then his like facial expression just completely changes. Like,
evil darknesses.
He's like, okay, this means I'm going to be able to get rid of, he calls him every single rotten piece of shit, but he means all of his other brothers. I'm going to be able to kill all of you. And he's like, tremble in your sleep, Benjamin, for I'm going to be king. And then Benjamin laughs. And is like, don't tell me you think you can win. What have you been smoking? So the dude tells him he's on a natural high.
Because, you know, he just murdered people.
Like, have you told the others? So, like, Benjamin is, like, in a gym, apparently. Yes,
some sort.
Wrestling this lion. Yeah. While, like, other people are wrestling in the ring. And you got a couple dudes using, like, this one guy skipping rope. And another guy looks like he's using the punching bag. So he's like, the messenger's about to go out and tell the rest of the brothers, like, I just decided to call you and tell you first because I'm going to be the one to break every one of your bones with my hands. And Srednik, or whatever his name is like, oh, I just hit myself. I'm so scared. Don't ever call me back. So the lion still looks very upset.
Yeah, and I think he just kills him.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's just a snap of the neck because he's like, fuck that brother of mine.
So, Srednik comments on the way that Benjamin referred to himself, and he's like, that's the way that some girls talk in the third person, don't you think? And he's talking to his very tattooed minion.
He seems to be maybe tattooing something, or,
No.
He's peeling her skin off, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Because I thought I saw in one of the other tags, I saw, like, something in his hand. Yeah, where the one where he says tremble and shake in your sleep, that panel, page 9, you can kind of see, like, what looks like almost like a, like, the kind of pen looking object they use to tattoo on people.
Yeah.
That's definitely true.
I mean, maybe
who knows? Maybe he's using a similar thing.
I think that's what that was originally in the panel, where we were asking if he threw something, because it does look like blood on the other end of it. So maybe it's...
Because I'm guessing maybe he kills people and then has this guy turn them into art, basically, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, clearly he does that, because he takes a picture.
Because that's clearly a woman.
On page 11, you could see the same sort of outline on his phone.
Actually, what's weird is it looks like almost like a picture of a spider.
Yeah.
So, BB, it does. That's messed up if it is.
Yeah, and then also, of course, we are sure that Lion is dead because Benjamin just ripped his head off. clean. Like, yeah. Well, actually, it's not clean at all. There's nothing clean about what just happened, but that's a dead lion, definitely.
So,
and then I'm sure that's a dead woman, too.
Yeah. You know, brothers. So much in common.
So, Serenic calls someone else, and he says, hey, Tata, how'd everything go? And she's like, well, so far, all 5 people that entered the exam have passed. And it's like, since the Hunter organization, I guess, reached out first and is like, okay, give me the list of your people and we'll verify them and let them pass. It's like, they've basically decided that each prince is going to get to have 15 staff members. So some of the others have sent the people to take the Hunter exam. And he says, well, the ones that aren't idiots have done it. He says, we need as many allies as we can rely on. And he says, at best, we're going to be weeks and weeks on the same ship with a bunch of brothers that don't get along. And he says, she says, there's one issue remaining, that anyone who lies or hides anything from the organization's questions will be rejected. And he says, she, I guess, it says that...
For all we know. Yeah. God damn it, Togashi.
They've been advised that there are machines and tools that will screen them for lying. And
I want to say, since her name is Tata or Taita.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with women, but
yeah, just maybe.
I mean, there are 4 other dudes, and one of them looks very much like a black guy. Well, two
you
of them.
Know,
look
I
like
mean, honestly, yes. Honestly, I guess I don't care about being wrong because it's not like I'm trying to fuck her. It's just a character on a page.
It's just like, yeah, no, one of them is clearly a black guy. The other guy's like a German.
Mm-hmm. No, there are 2 black guys. I think the bald one also has those Negroid lips.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Those very full lips that you only see on certain kinds of people.
Yeah. It's just that for whatever reason, like, these guys aren't shaded, whereas the other guy was shaded. So, they've been told about the relationships between the princes and the fact that they're trying to get the inheritance. So he says that he asked Taita, like, the people that didn't show up for the exam, they were Benjamin's people. And also Benjamin, who's the oldest, and Tyson, who is the sixth. And again, these names don't make any sense.
No.
So he's like, so Taita replies, like, yeah, you're right. But what made you think it was those two? And he's like, pride and jealousy, basically. It's like Benjamin feels like his soldiers are so great and so above the Hunter organization that he would never let them judge his soldiers. And Tyson wouldn't let his soldiers outside as he doesn't want to let some strange bugs walk on them. So it's like his brothers are messed up.
And yeah, they all have their own weird fucked upness. Yeah.
And he's already a pretty messed up guy. So he's like, were there any bodyguards that didn't pass? And he says that all of Lazarus's, who's the seventh prince, all of his soldiers failed. He says, of course, like there was some moron that would do that. And without thinking about the possibility of a lie detector test, he sent all of his soldiers in already thinking that they were going to be going there to assassinate people. So, because he's an idiot, of course they got caught. So he says, when you come back, go back to doing what you normally do. And on the voyage, all of your orders will be given to you beforehand. And tell everyone to get an understanding of how the Black Whale works from the blueprints that they've got. Find blind spots, escape routes, figure out travel time, and anything that they may have shared. Like, we're going to... hypothesize how everything is going to work when we're on this trip.
Then he has his own little, like, I guess, kind of aside in his head. Or do you think he's actually saying it on the phone?
I don't think he said it on the phone, but I think that each one of the brothers is supposed to be one of the seven deadly sins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of makes sense.
From the fact that he assigned pride and jealousy to Benjamin and Tyson. Mm-hmm. He didn't assign one to Lazarus, but he basically said he was an idiot. So, ignorance and stupidity are two things that the seven deadly sins don't account for, and those who don't know their place are the biggest sinners of all.
Yes.
So he's saying, like, for any of his brothers to be king is completely out of the question. So we go back to Miss Eistom and Kurapika, and he's basically saying, I don't think it's possible that people are aware of your ability beforehand, and they're taking such extreme measures to counter it. So he says, you know, that from what I know of the Zodiacs, there's no one who has that kind of ability. He said, of course, we don't know what each other's powers are completely, but as a precursor to the trip, they're going to make sure that they find out. He said, before you got here, basically, there were three different factions. You had two exceptions, which are both of the idiots. With Jin on one side and Parasun on the other side. They said Parasun is an extreme leftist patriot. It's impossible to tell how he really feels. There was the reformist hardline faction, which is Cluck, forgot the monkey's name, and Peon. Monkey
and Rabbit.
And the liberal non-political, which was Geru, Kanzai, and Sacho. And then those who were trying to maintain the balance, which is Miss Eistom, Botabai, Cheadle, and Ginta. So basically only the monkey's name I can't remember.
Well, don't worry, we'll find out later.
Yeah. So he says currently they've separated into specialty teams based on their talents. So they've separated them away from the factions that they usually are in, which is cool. And he's asked them already to share all their abilities with each other that are on the same team. And all of the members said they would do it. So he says that everyone understands how important their mission is, so it doesn't hurt to be honest. So he says, so are you going to ask me to share my powers also? And he's like, no. I've heard about your circumstances from Leorio, so I don't need an explanation of your abilities, and I won't tell anybody what you've told me or what you've shown me. But that means that I also won't be telling you the abilities of the Zodiacs. And he's like, okay, that's cool. I understand. And I'm glad that you're not going to show off. You're not going to sell me out, basically.
Yes.
He says, you know, I thought that coming here, that things wouldn't go smoothly. But since Leorio's been here, it's made me a lot more comfortable. He's like, yeah, sure. You've also been very helpful. So continuing on from what I was saying before you so rudely interrupted me by thanking.
Yes.
So he's like, with the sharing of abilities, we already know that there's nobody who has that ability. So he says the next step is, do we have any friends or acquaintances that have that ability? And that answer is probably also no. So he says by going through and eliminating information from all of their past hunts and checking intelligence missions and mission frequency and whatnot, we could see that nobody has that criteria that would fit the circumstances of someone knowing that ability. So he's saying that wasn't there a probability that that ability has only been used in complete secrecy? So that would probably be a person that's working for a secret intelligence agency outside of the Hunter organization. He says, yeah, that's what I was thinking, but the answer is probably no. And all of this text is starting to piss me off. Mm-hmm. It's like, if someone's secretly colluding, they'd probably have countermeasures so that for somebody who could see through lies. So in that case, Muhel, which is the name and not Muher, I don't know why I was thinking Muher, a biochemist named Yoon, it's weird that they didn't pass. They're both extremely talented, and Yund is in charge of mediating between the science and biology division, so that when he got caught in a lie, the machine, I guess, I don't think the machine, that the person who's reading the machine didn't believe it. That wording is weird. So, yes. For someone who is such an important post to go in knowing that there was a trap, if he had any countermeasure, he would have used it. He says, or it's possible that someone sent them in to use as decoys while the actual spy got through. He said, but there's an alarm that's saying in his head that after losing the presidential election, Pariston left us so quickly because he already had someone on the inside. And that's what's bothering him the most. So Kurapika says that I can secretly test them if that's what you want. And I'd be absolutely willing to do it. And so they go back into the meeting room. Without, I think, Rupik and the Oreo so far, because it doesn't look like they're at the table. And the monkey is like, what's going on with this unpolished, uncut gem? It's like, what about the two recruits? Are we really going to have a discussion without them being present? And Potabai picks up and says, this is probably about our abilities. And he's like, as a member of the defense division, we should exchange this information as quickly as possible. He says, yeah, we're definitely going to do that before we go on this voyage. It's like, but first we have to confirm and validate something else, is that someone here may be on Beyond's team. And knowing that piece of information, would you still tell us your abilities? And then everybody's looking at each other with shifty faces. And Kanzai, being the dumb one, is like, like, why would you say that someone here is on Beyond's side? Like, and he starts getting pissed off at Ms. Eistom, and Ms. Eistom is explaining, like, before I'd ever heard of what the president's mission was, if Beyond the Tarot had approached me and talked about this, I'd probably have been happy to help them. And if I saw the president's video after that, that wouldn't have changed my mind. So he's saying that this is an issue of what happened first, not about betrayal or about doubting each other. But what I'm saying is that it's equally possible that someone here had met with Beyond first and already been convinced to join his side. So I'm asking you, even if knowing all of that, would you still show what your abilities are? And he says, I still believe that I can. So he pulls out his three cards with exclamation points on the back. And he explains his cross-game ability. And he says that...
pulls out three Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah, and it's basically a traffic light. red, yellow, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Says with blue, I make them make their mission to the courtroom. With yellow, they are restrained, and with red, I have them removed. So that's my ability, and I've made it my mission to determine which one of you is here under false pretenses. And you see the camera in the corners of the room, yes. And that Kurapika is watching from the outside. So he's looking at them, and white is what he's saying to say that they pass, basically. Mm-hmm. And then on Sayu, which is the monkey, it's black, I guess, because he doesn't say anything. And he says the traitor is Sayu. So there's going to be a break next week, and they will be back August 11th. So yes. It's a two-week break.
Oh, jeez.
Well, essentially, yeah, because it's a double issue.
Oh, yeah, it's a double issue, so I guess they're taking a break themselves anyway, Shonen Jump, maybe?
I guess.
Yeah.
So, what...
Because I forget how double issues work, so...
Yeah, that's 2 weeks together. Mm-hmm. So, what we've learned in this chapter is basically that Sayu is a traitor, that the whole group is supposed to reveal their abilities to one another. I don't know how they're going to react to Son Goku being the traitor.
Yes.
And we also got a little bit more into Kurapika's powers and the fact that he's a jerk and he can't tell anybody how it go.
Because the spiders.
Yep.
Will fuck his shit up.
And even though they already know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Serednik is the one that has the eyes. And there's also going to be fights to the death between the brothers on this black whale ship.
Yes.
On the journey towards the outside continent, assuming any of them even make it there alive. Kurapika might be trying to take him out while on that ship, so... He's going to be hunting his brothers while Kurapika is hunting him. I don't know how that's going to work.
It's going to be a weird fucking situation.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it seems like it's going to be... again, not to say that this wasn't already in the cards, but just the drama build-up for this. Like, we haven't even started to fucking board this plane thing yet, or this whale.
Not at all.
And everybody's already, like, at each other's fucking throats.
Meanwhile, like, Pyroston and Jin's side, they've kind of sort of evened out.
Yes.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, we did get that, and I wasn't here to discuss it, but, like, the whole chapter of Pyroston coming in and just creating this sort of situation only so he could see what Jin's abilities were.
Yep.
And then Jin just kind of saying, well, I don't give a fuck. I mean, it's whatever. I don't have a fear of you seeing what I'm able to do.
Like, if you want to know my powers, just fight me. Like, don't even...
Yeah.
Like, be real.
Let's not pretend. Let's not have Muhel act terribly in front of me.
Oh, no, I hate you. You are worst.
Yeah.
Let's fight to the death now. So, I don't know how many more chapters it's going to take for us to get on this whale. I feel like at some point we're just going to be like, gotta just do it.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to happen. I'm sure Togashi just has so many little details he wants to fit into everything.
And I think he probably wants to... He may not establish who all the people are on the boat beforehand, but I think he wants to make sure that the people that we're going to know that are definitely on this boat, the three factions, the princes, the hunter organization, and then the anti-hunter organization, whatever their actual name is. Those three groups, I think he wants to make sure that we're convinced of what their motives are before they get on board. And then we'll probably be introduced to additional people once they're already on the Black Whale.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting going forward. Kind of not as excited as I was about previous arcs when they were happening, but I think that's just because this is the setup part.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't yet seen how it's going to go. And there will probably be a lot of violence on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
So, think so?
I feel there's as though there's a small possibility that there will be
There's going to be... No, for sure. I mean, there's like 7 different things going on when people are trying, like... Kurapika is there trying to take out the king, or no, the prince.
The prince.
He's going to try to take out the prince. The prince's bodyguards are all going to try to take each other, and there's 6 of them now?
Yes.
Because
one of them didn't pass?
He's probably going to take his bodyguards anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it would be dumb, knowing that your brothers are all out to kill you, to hop on his boat without them.
Yeah. So somehow he's going to have to bring in... So anyways, all the princes are against each other. And then you have essentially the faction of the Zodiacs trying to defeat the faction of
Netero Zodiacs.
Yeah.
Beyonds Zodiacs.
Yeah. Beyonds.
Yes.
And I every single time we say that, it always reminds me of that episode title we had, Bed, Bath, and Beyond Netero.
Yes. good times.
So, so clearly there's a lot of confrontation already pre-boat boarding, or whale boarding,
mm-hmm.
however you want to call it. So yeah, that's gonna be fun whenever it does happen.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Honestly, I've been loving all of this. Like, I am a fan of fucking boring shit. Just like information and information and world building. Like, I just love watching like Gundam and Legend of the Galactic Heroes and stuff like that. That does that. So yeah. I've been really enjoying it. Just and probably because this is like. I'm sure there are so many young kids that are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Why is this in my Shonen Jump magazine? And
why is there so much text? I don't want to read.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I have to, like, steal myself every time there's a chapter so far. Like, I can't read if I'm, like, tired, if I'm coming home from work. I have to read it the next day.
Yeah.
Just so I can absorb all the information.
And I have to read it multiple times sometimes, mm-hmm. too.
Yes.
I have to go back and just read the Viz version after going and reading this version, you know?
So. Yes. I do the same now. Yeah.
So, I guess that's pretty much that. We got two emails. One, I don't know. We may have read it. The other one, oh well.
Diego, do you remember
an episode where Boywack email where Boywack talked about the bears?
He was in an email, discussing episode 91 and 92 of the podcast from Boywack.
Do I remember reading that email?
Think he didn't.
No.
I think we didn't read it. So he sent two, Boywack sent two emails. The first one says, yo, HXH podcast crew. He knows we're dropping the X now, right?
Yeah.
So he says, sending you
an ETX crew. Yeah.
Sending you an email on some of the most epic episodes that were discussed in episode 91 and 92 of the podcast. And it's funny as Foxy talks about the several moments in the series where she starts and continues to hate Gon. For me, Gon has been kind of a cool character, but I stopped liking him since he ditched the fishing rod for a weapon. So that was like episode 10, maybe?
Yeah.
It was up until that point, he was a typical likable shonen hero with an unusual weapon. After that, my most likable character was Killua. Episode 91 of your show covered the events leading up to the explosion of the miniature rose, and the hilarious analogy of the Khmer ants to intelligent-speaking crocodiles was made. But what I wanted to say is that considering the whole Gon and Pito thing, I completely understand how someone came to hate Gon during this moment. For me, it was more for Gon being a complete dick to Killua at that time. If it wasn't for the fact that Killua had a lot of character... development up to that point, he would have just said
maybe some much needed.
Maybe he would have just said fuck you and left him there to die. And that battle between the Taro and the King was the epicness to end all epicness. And what better way to start the battle than for the Taro to make a heart gesture with his hand above his chest? It's almost like he was about to do something like friendship from Mortal Kombat.
Friendship.
But that face Netero made before he pierced his heart to detonate the rose was the stuff out of nightmares. And he says, spoiler, if they survived all of this, when Pufu tucked him in at night, and when the king closed his eyes to go to sleep, he would see that image. And then he would call Pufu to come back to plug in a nightlight. Also, that half ant, half regular face the Pufu clone made probably was also frightening too. But not as much as Netero's Welcome to Hell death face. And now episode 92, where you guys cover the big WTF moment we all knew was going to happen, Gon's transformation. When I first saw this in the manga, it even had me going, what the fuck just happened? So I can understand the people who never read the manga before could be confused at this point. But those who thought that Gon will use this newfound power to fight the revived king was just funny to me. It's like they are still waiting for Hunter x Hunter to turn into a regular shonen series. Where Gon is the pure-hearted savior of the world, who will go on to fight and defeat the Ant King, and then the Phantom Troop, and eventually become the new president of the Hunter Association, like Naruto! But none of that is going to happen. Gon is completely narrow-minded. He has a set of goals, a set of friends, and fuck everything else. Another thing discussed in episode 92 of the podcast was a new manga chapter. It actually happened. And Ed joked about this in the show, but I think, seriously, the series will mostly focus on Jin going ahead. And I'm saying this not reading ahead of chapter 341, and I'm willing to bet that I got this nailed. I'm thinking we won't see much of the main four, and the series will follow Jin and his wacky shenanigans in a new world. And we'll probably see Gon and Killua later, but time-skipped versions of them. That's my prediction. that's all I have to say for now. Sorry for the lateness and the wall of text, but I wanted to make up for lost time. So thanks, Boywick.
Hell yeah, thanks, Boywick. Yeah. Somebody gave us emails.
For actually going through all of those episodes that we dropped. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So he sends another email that's titled, Sending You Guys Too Many Emails. Yo, XHH Podcast Guy. Finally caught up to the latest podcast episode, and now seeing all the emails I sent you guys are probably going to end up on all one episode of the podcast. My bad about that. But hey, more emails the better, right? On episode 94 of the podcast, you guys covered the deaths of King Meruem and Kamugi. I guess Pufu and Yuppie died too, but nobody cares about them. This episode had to be one of, if not the most saddest moment in anime history. And I think the reason for that is not because the king was a likable character. Far from it, to me anyway. The king pretty much is like a spoiled kid who expects everything handed to him. Kills his mother and has no regard of the life of anybody, including his own kind. And I think if Netero let him live, or he escaped somehow without any harm, humans would be in terrible shape regardless of the promises he made to Netero. It would probably be something close to Planet of the Apes, where humans would be either food or a pet. What really makes that moment sad is that we actually have a villain who is developing as a character, which is probably something no other anime but Hunter x Hunter does. Usually the villain is one-dimensional, he or she is bad, done. They're evil and the main character must stop them, nothing further than that. But with the king, and even the Phantom Troop, for that, you have people that you can label as evil. But they are more than that, they have lives, thoughts, and feelings. Some of them, anyway.
Yeah, some.
When you see the king meet Kamugi, you witness him have emotions that are completely new to him. And the fact that he dies before we get to see him fully develop himself as a character, and see whatever relationship he is forming with Kamugi, is what puts a tear to your eye, whether you care for the guy or not. And a new episode of the anime aired recently, and it's finally up to the election arc where we finally get to meet Jin. I bet many people who don't read the manga is thinking the series is going to end soon. That's what I thought anyway when I first saw Jin in the manga at this point. But we all know now that Gon was never the main character of the series. It was actually Jin the entire time. It was Dio.
It was Dio.
And I love that new opening.
We thought it was Gon.
But it was really Dio. Also, you guys, tangents with Romeo and Juliet. Romero and Juliet. I think that's so much better. George Romero.
George Romero and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet.
And the Bears was hilarious. At one point, Diego says that the king could have gotten a second or third base on Kamugi. And considering her age seemed completely wrong. And we don't know how old she is, though. And the correct answer to why we don't wage war on bears is because if you do, bears will wage a war on humans. Best ever moment, though, is the Will of Diego part. Diego, you could have dropped the mic and ended the podcast there. That's all I have to say for now. You guys have a good one and keep up the great work.
I honestly don't remember ever saying that.
You said it's something. It was really stupid. It was like,
yeah, of course. Like, okay. I mean, not that I said, like, I don't remember ever saying that. I remember saying that.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember that moment either.
A lot of the stuff that happens is kind of just.
I know. I wanted to hang up the call when you said it.
The moment I said it, okay. See, and you should have done that. See, boy, it was just, been happy.
This is like, bad. Girl. You should feel ashamed of yourself. You should feel bad.
I never feel ashamed. That is never a thing.
I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, thank you, Boywick, for all of those emails.
Oh yeah, Boywick. Keep on keeping on.
So we're now, as we're at the end of episode 97.
Maybe if you want to be like our homeboy Boywick here, you should email us at hxhpodcasts@gmail.com.
Yep.
That's how that works. Okay, cool. I still haven't forgotten how email works. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can also tweet us on Twitter, obviously, at hxhpodcast.com, or hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/hxhpodcast, or leave a comment on the site, which is droppingthex.com. I was going to say something completely different. But since Ed started wrapping up the show and was just going to stop at emails, now I don't remember what I was going to say.
Oh, shit, sorry. I just wanted to remind people of
the nice job, Bullet Beast.
So, at the end of episode, since we're at the end of episode 97, it's important to note that we are basically three episodes away from episode 100. We are also more or less 3 weeks-ish away from our third anniversary as a podcast. So, if you want to send us anything special to commemorate that moment, which I assume would be emails, but if you want to send money or toys or whatever, we would also accept those things.
Yes. We would probably put the money to use to maybe make stuff better. Maybe we'll get Foxy a new fan.
Maybe.
A silent.
Yes, that would be excellent. So, thank you guys for listening to us again. I will see you next week.
Yeah, wait, we're going to have an episode next week?
The anime is still going to air next week.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, cool. We'll just have an anime-only episode next week.
And climaxes Ahsoka's penis.
Always.